Yes!
All-American edition yes. of the Falcon Cast coming at you.
Absolutely. You know why I'm so excited, Jay?
Why is that?
And this is Falcon Cast. Welcome to the Falcon Cast.
Just always extra patriotic today.
Jay Adams to my left, DJ Shockley away to the left. I'm John Michaels. We'll be here talking a lot about the facts. You know why I'm excited? It's the regular season!
Game week, baby.
Finally.
Game week, baby.
Finally.
You, as much as we all get excited, and Jay, you spend time out here every single day, we get real excited when training camp opens. By like, you know, day five of training camp, I think everybody's going, all right. And the first preseason game, awesome. The first road trip, awesome. By about mid-second quarter of that fourth preseason game, we're trying to figure out funny things to do on the field. We don't have to worry about that anymore because Monday night is coming up really soon against Philadelphia
Eagles.
Really
soon, and gosh, I can't wait. I mean, man, it's just there's nothing like it. And what a better way to open the season. Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, there's some history there with the Falcons, and so I'm thrilled. I know you're thrilled.
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
I go back to – I don't think it was our first game, but I remember as a rookie – Monday Night Football, we went to New Orleans.
One didn't work out.
Didn't work out good, but I'm just talking about the pageantry of Monday Night Football, how big it is, how anticipated it is, and it's the first one of the year, and you get to be on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And we got the
fun.
Good spot, too. You know, the 7-10 game, and they do the
really
doubleheader.
Early game,
Everybody's going to be watching us.
I don't know how I feel about that doubleheader. I get it. You're getting a West Coast game in there in San Fran, Minnesota.
I'm not going to watch it, though.
No, by the time I get home.
That's my bedtime.
All right, by the time I get home, it's time to go to sleep. We got a lot of things to talk about today on Falcon Cast. We'll break down the roster as the Falcons come up with their 53, an ever-evolving roster, let's be honest with you. We'll preview the Eagles and the Falcons, obviously, on Monday night. We'll break with Bosek. We've got a video of the week. I'm going to throw you guys a curveball, and I'll give you about 30 minutes to think about it.
I hit curveballs out the park.
All right, you do. We're going to get some Super Bowl picks here.
Whoa.
We're going to find out who's winning the NFC and the AFC. Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
Whoa.
I put it on my Twitter page, at JohnMichaels929. I actually gave the entire playoffs, who I had in the AFC and the NFC, and then who I had winning the Super Bowl. So you guys, you got some time while we're doing the show. Write it down. Do whatever you need to do.
I need a DH. I need a DH.
Nope, no DHs. Shock. Bosek said he's going to beat both of you guys.
Bosek's got to do it too.
And we'll also apparently we'll do.
We're going to have picks to click.
Picks to click as well. I don't like this whole not being able to pick Matt or Julio thing.
Got to work within the rules, dog.
I got to find out where you guys get this picks to click name from.
That's a Matt Moore.
That's a Matt Moore thing. Okay.
That's a holdover.
Okay.
Oh, you're the one. Okay, that was Bosek. Bosek says it was him.
Well, maybe you could explain that to me, Bosek. How do you come up with picks to click?
You pick the person
who's going to click.
Pick the
guy who's going to click that night.
Like, who's going to make the most impact? Who are you going to want to click on?
Okay. See, that's that millennial talk. I'm completely
like
lost.
All on the interwebs, this guy.
Like fantasy, you know, like you love T.Y. Hill.
Very
he
true.
Would be your picks to click.
He'd be my
so that's your man crush, DJ?
No. T.Y. is – you'll find out later on.
Okay.
Let's dive into it, though. The Falcons
– Rose will find out later on. How about that?
They wrap up the preseason, what seems like now about 3 weeks ago, thankfully. It was last Thursday night. Preseason's over with. They pick up a victory over the Baltimore Ravens. And then the big story is from Thursday night when the game ends until Saturday at 4:30 and really even beyond – the roster takes shape. They come up with a 53-man unit. A couple of surprises for me right off the bat, and I know you guys have some as well. Joe Holly not being here to me is a shock. I truthfully, and again, this is just my opinion, I thought Joe Holly was going to be the starting center. Mm-hmm. He ends up getting released, and he's not here. Joe was one of those guys around the locker room, infectious personality. On the field, he was a junkyard dog. But the Falcons decided to go a different route with this. He's my biggest number one surprise, not being on the 53.
You know, I think about looking back in retrospect, maybe, you know, I was surprised when I heard about Holly too, but then I started to think about it. Okay, so the guy who's supposed to start at center, or you think is going to start at center, doesn't play until the second half of the Miami game, the third preseason game, the all-important game. So that's your first clue. He doesn't come in until the second quarter, of the fourth game.
Yeah.
Okay. You add those things up, and something's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And look, you know, these things happen all the time, and this is why they don't pay us to, you know, put teams together. And you know, it stinks. And these are my least favorite 3 or 4 days because mm-hmm. you lose out on a lot of your favorite guys. You know, we all had personal relationships with Joe and guys like Anton, who is another surprise as well. But this is a business, and we hear that all the time, and it's so much so that it becomes cliche, but it's true. Right. It's a business. You're trying to put the best 53 men out on that field from training camp to week 17. Mm-hmm. Whoever those best 53 guys are, that's who's going to be suiting up. And I think that's what it comes down to, and you've got to keep that in mind. You know, there's sacrifices that have to be made, I guess.
And, Jay, to your point about how late Joe was coming in, as a guy who's been on a team like this, a guy who's played in the league and understands the business of it, I looked at the exact same thing. But I looked at it in the fashion of, like you just said, Joe's on a team. Right. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not even taking a second guess about why he's not playing, why he's playing so late. Yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but I was like, Joe's on the team. And for me, I was thinking, okay, all preseason long, we've been trying to get different combinations right. in there just to see what works. So we're going to try this guy this week. Yeah. Put him with the first group. See if he communicates well with the guards and the tackles, the quarterbacks. See if, you know, Persons or see if Stone, whoever it may be, that's what they do. They like, maybe we know what we get in Joe Hawley. That's what I was thinking. We right. know what we get in him. So he's going to be one of our guys. Let's see what these other guys can do. And like you said, when they released him, my mouth was wide open. Like, I never saw it. Never saw it coming. And between him and Anton was two of my biggest that I looked at it like, wow. Anybody's can be on this chopping block, especially when I look at Anton and everything he's done. Not just special teams, but you look back last year, whenever he got the football,
right?
Mm-hmm. He was a threat to score with it, and he's a different type of player. And he's a guy that you always want on your team because he's so versatile on offense, on special teams, on whatever you need him for, he was always there for you.
I think you touched on it, and I want to expand on it, but there is nobody safe
yeah. right
now. Nobody. If I'm in that locker room and we just release Joe Hawley and we cut Anton Smith, nobody's safe.
And
we heard a couple of years ago there's
like
no sacred
Sunday.
Cows.
Right.
It now is. It's really coming to fruition.
As a guy, I'm like, okay, I made the 53. Saturday's gone. 4 o'clock is passed.
Right.
Right.
Whew. Right.
Sigh of relief. Rough. I yeah. can take a breather. I'm good. And then they call you up on Sunday, and you're like, what? So, yeah. to, like you just mentioned, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Coach Quinn is about getting guys on this team who can play regardless, no matter when it is or where it is.
Well, and you got to remember Jake Long having a workout. We don't mm-hmm. know what's going to happen with that. There could be still more moves before Monday night ends up happening. Yeah. He was just cleared to be part back and work right. and play football again. If he's able to do so and he can come in and have a good workout, mind you, he's already worked out here a couple of weeks ago, he could be another guy that takes a job somewhere along the line. The surprises on the other side. We talked about our bubble players a week ago. I mentioned Nick Williams. You had Pierce Burton. You had Desmond Southward Shock. Two of those three guys made the team. I'll
I'm
start
the idiot.
I actually
mine's on the
guy.
Practice squad, so at least I got. I
he's got partial there. Credit, right?
Right.
I'm shocked my guy made it because seven wide receivers seven wide now on the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. I don't know what the precedent for that is around the NFL, but what that really tells me about Coach Quinn is everything he's preached about the best guy is going to be on this football team really comes to fruition with Nick Williams. He showed during the preseason how good and what kind of a valuable asset he can be. He's going to be a guy that's here. Now, what's his playing time going to be during the regular season? Who knows? It's going to be a lot of special teams. If he even dresses, he could be one of those guys in that, 47 to 53 limbo that's on the active but not dressing. Tyler Starr did a lot of that mm-hmm. last year. Yeah. But he's a guy that in emergency, if something that's not really wood. I'll knock on my head. My head's more wood than this is. Knock on wood, if something happens to somebody that's active 53 receiver, you've got a guy now that you can step in and you don't feel there's going to be any drop-off.
And here's one thing that people won't really think about is, okay, yeah, he's the seventh receiver, and because of that, there's other casualties in other positions. We talk about a tight end only keeping two, all that kind of stuff. But with a guy like Nick Williams, he could help you during the week just as much as he can on Sunday. And a lot of people forget about it. Yeah, he won't play a lot, or maybe he's a seventh receiver, or, you know, you need him to come in. But he's going to help those defensive backs. He's going to help the special teams. He's going to help everybody get ready, especially throughout the week, because he's probably going to do a lot of good things. Say you play somebody like the Giants got coming up, and they got two kind of slot-looking guys in Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz. He can be that type of guy for you. He can be a wildcat guy. He can be somebody who is going to be tough to really prepare for, and he can be that type of player for you Monday through Saturday that a lot of people don't even really think about.
The fallout of Nick Williams being on the roster is that spot's got to come from somewhere, right? So right now you're sitting with two tight ends on the roster. You're not carrying nearly as many running backs as you have in the past. So you see how that affects the rest of the roster. And to, I think your point is that Coach Quinn just wants the best guys. It doesn't matter what position you play. If there was an eighth wide receiver that was proven his worth, we could be seeing, we could see eight wide receivers on the roster. I know that's a little extreme, but I mean, that's really what it comes down to, and that's what he's been preaching since day one. So while there, we don't know what the precedent is for carrying seven wide receivers on a roster, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, we're walking the talk here.
And then give Nick Williams credit, man. He went out and balled out. I mean, he made it really hard on this staff to say, we got to let you go or put you on practice squad. Right. You know, they knew if they let him go or put him on practice squad, there's no way he would be here. So he kind of forced their hand, and you got to give him credit. He went out and did it. And odds, when you come to this team as a receiver and how deep it was, your odds are pretty low, and for him to come out and do what he did, you got to give him credit.
Absolutely.
I'll be honest. If I'm Nick Williams and his agent before training camp or before OTAs and all that stuff comes around and goes, hey, you know, the Falcons are interested, I would have said thanks but no thanks.
Right.
They've got Julio, Roddy, Hankerson, Hester, Weems. I'm not going to make that team.
Just drafted
Hardy.
But Shanahan's his guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're coming into a system that you know, and I think that when you're a coach and you're coming into a brand-new team, you want to get some of those guys who have that familiarity, which is why we're seeing a lot of former Redskins coming in. You know, it's funny how that works, that coaches go with guys that, you know, they're comfortable with. I know during the previous regime, you saw a lot of ex-Jaguars coming in, you know. So it becomes kind of the running joke, but it's really true that, you know, a lot of these guys just want to find some comfort with guys they're familiar with. A
couple of other guys that made the team, not really surprised. We talked about Desmond Southward last week. I guess he earned his spot, and he's going to be a corner.
And he showed up in that fourth preseason game. And I think he was one of those bubble guys, but I think it's important to point out that he showed up in that fourth preseason game, and I think that's what earned him his spot.
Well, we talked about Anton Smith, things you can't coach, speed. And Desmond Southward's got that. He's been a core member of the special team unit for the last couple of years anyway. He's on there. And Robinson Terese, somebody that none of us talked about. You want to talk about completely out of left field. And Robinson was a really good player at Auburn.
Yeah.
But for him, all of a sudden, when his name popped up, I said, wow, he earned himself a spot. Good for him. And he's one of those young playmakers that you look forward to.
Yeah, and I think that tells you about the things that the coaches really look at, not just in the game but in practice as well, how you practice each and every day. So there were things that we probably didn't see on a daily basis that said, all right, this is a guy we want to keep around, especially what you do in practice. And, you know, you don't see the flashy plays. You saw the one interception, I think it was game one of the preseason. But they're the small things that we probably don't recognize, like he getting guys lined up or making checks, making calls back there that the common fan would not really recognize if you're just watching the game. And he probably really stood out in that way that, you know, said, hey, this is a guy we want to keep around and develop even more.
I mean, he was voted Auburn's Defensive Player of the Year 1 year, I think his junior season. So, I mean, this is not a guy who doesn't know the game of football.
Right.
I mean, he's certainly, you know, for one reason or another, he didn't get drafted, but it looks like there's another solid undrafted free agent get.
And that's something Thomas Dimitroff doesn't get enough credit for. Finding guys like that, undrafted players that can come in and make an impact on a football team. That you know, I get it. You see the flashy name at one and two, and those are the people that you're typically graded on. Seattle did such a great job finding guys in rounds 5, 6, 7 and undrafted players. And for the Falcons to have a few of these, again, this is the roster churn we're going to talk about. But I think moving forward, it could be something really exciting.
Absolutely. And that's where really your roster is made, is between rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then afterwards, all the phone calls that you're making as soon as the draft ends to get some
of
those guys who
didn't
get drafted.
That was a seventh-round guy. That's where the team's made it, baby.
And now you're a star. TV star.
That, man. I don't know about that.
Now you are. Yeah, you are.
I got to sit along with you side, guys, so I'm going to start with you guys.
Before we get to Philadelphia, where are, let's see, you've got CW, you've got Falcon Cast, you're doing ACC stuff. I mean, you're doing, what else are you doing? You're ESPN, you're CNN, you're big time. When are you going to be in the entourage? You're going to be in Entourage Part 2, aren't you?
I wish.
You and Ronda Rousey in a fight scene.
I would do it, though. I ain't going to lie.
Oh, I would do that, too.
Man, I'm not a big enough star to be there. I'm like an F-minus list celebrity. Entourage was only taking A-level guys.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're not even verified on Twitter.
No, I can't.
You know who
that.
Is?
Of course he is.
Because of you.
I got you verified.
Thank
I can't
you.
Get myself verified.
Thank
How do
you
get verified?
That.
I've always wondered that.
It's this. You got to get Twitter to reply to your email. Every time I ask about myself, they won't reply. I ask about a player or a former player. They're like, oh, yeah.
How about I ask about you and you ask about me, and let's see if it works.
Do you tell them what you do for this organization? Yeah, do they know?
They don't care.
We'll try some of that.
They got to know.
Speaking of superstars, superstar games are played on Monday Night Football. I get it now. There's the Sunday night deal that a lot of people pay attention to more. But there's still an allure of playing on Monday night, especially in the opening week. And I wonder, Dan Quinn's first game – when you see the schedule come out months in advance and you get to circle and go, wow, our first game's going to be Monday night against a pretty darn good Philadelphia team. I wonder how much more pressure is being put on the coaching staff and the players. Shock, I'll start with you. You played in the NFL. You mentioned the New Orleans game on a Monday night. What's it like as a player getting ready for a Monday night game as opposed to just that 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon start that everybody else has?
I think the biggest thing that you realize is that you're the only game on. Mm-hmm. It's like the Super Bowl. You're the only game on TV. Everybody's watching, and we know the National Football League is one of the biggest entities in the world. So everybody really loves the National Football League and their brand. And playing on Monday Night Football is like the pinnacle of every NFL athlete. You want to play on Monday Night Football. And you want to say you played. You want to say you were a part of it. And it's not only just, okay, I've made it to the NFL, but now – I get to play on Monday Night Football. And I remember last week, somebody asked Tevin a question about will he be ready, and the first thing he mentioned was, yeah, I'll be ready for Monday Night Football. And he just said, I'll be ready for the game next week. I'll be ready for Philadelphia. He said, I'll be ready for Monday Night Football. And that tells you, in the mind of players, this is so much bigger than just one game. You try to in the media, they try to make it seem like it's just another game, mm-hmm. but this is major. I mean, this is Monday Night Football. Everybody's watching. It's primetime stage. All the lights, all the glamour, everything about it is really, really magnified, and you look forward to it. As a player, it's one of those things that you say, hey, I can't wait for it.
I know as a broadcaster, we look forward to it. I mean, there's something different. The 1 o'clock game, there's not as many entities on the field. Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, everybody and their brother somehow gets a sideline pass pregame, and all of a sudden there's 50 Parab mics, there's 600 cameras. But go, wait a second. Yeah. Where were you guys? But you can tell the difference because every media outlet, as you just mentioned, Shock, and even Thursday night as well on NFL Network, every media outlet says, okay, this is the only major event that we're covering.
This is the only thing
U.S. Open's going to be finished with tennis-wise. Nobody's caring about baseball on a Monday night. Unfortunately, in this town, there's not a pennant race going on. So people are going to be paying attention to, here's the Falcons and the Eagles, and then on the West Coast, those people that have to stay up late and watch that game, there'll be the San Francisco game against Minnesota. It is different. It's just a different feel for all of us.
I mean, to give you an idea, ESPN has been in town all week. They've got more than 250 credentialed ESPN employees for the game. I mean, it is big. The whole world will be watching this game. And, you know, for Falcons fans out there who always complain about the national media attention or lack thereof, I mean, it's going to be very much the same. Everybody's focused on the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody. Everybody wants to see Chip Kelly and what he's doing and all that stuff. We know, you know, the offseason moves were well documented with them. For us, though, you know, it's a chance to see Dan Quinn mm-hmm. in a huge test for him.
Yep.
I think that defense, if we can use the preseason as any indication, I think the defense is going to show up ready to play. We'll see what the answer is with the offensive line when we get to Monday night.
Am I the only one that's not as nervous about the O-line? And I get it. It was not a great preseason for the offensive line. I think there is something to be said about when the lights come on, guys are going to play a little bit
better.
See,
I disagree. The first two preseason games, if you go back, Matt had plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back, I mean, I understand that you're, you know, in a Miami game, you're playing one of the best defensive fronts in the league. But, you know, there's players on the Titans. There's players on the Jets.
Yep.
I mean, and there was some issues against the Jets. But there were plenty of times where Matt had plenty of time. So to say that the whole preseason was maybe not so good on the offensive line, I don't know if we can say that, but I think one of the things that really kind of I'm encouraged by is that you've added some real veteran presence mm-hmm. here. And yeah, they're coming in, they're behind the eight ball, all that stuff. They got to learn the playbook on short notice, but you're professional, right? So this is your job. This is what you got
to
do.
And one thing I'll add to it is there's going to be a unique game plan in place. There's mm-hmm. going to be a game plan to where there have been some deficiency with the offensive line, they're going to find ways to sew that up. So when they get in the game, maybe there's a little bit more quick game. Maybe there's more screens. Maybe there's more ways to identify when the blitzes are coming so you can, you know, protect a little bit better. There are going to be a lot of things that you didn't do in preseason that you will add value into this first game that will help you become a better offense and also help that offensive line. So we can't put everything into it. Yes, it's a big part of what they want to do. The offensive line, yes, has had some issues, but that's with so many different combinations. That's with not really game planning. It's for, you know, you trying to work on something yourself as an offense, so you're not really worried about what they're doing defensively, which will hurt your offense because, you know, protection-wise, there's so many other little things that matter when you talk about an upfront game plan and putting it all together.
Yeah, how about having everybody out there, meaning Julio Jones, Tevin Coleman, Roddy White, all of these guys will be available on Monday night. Yeah. And you think that doesn't change the strategy of Philadelphia? Philadelphia's not going to line up and say, hey, we're putting eight in the box. We're coming after Matt. We'll just single cover that guy number 11. No, they realize, okay, I've got to keep a safety over the top. I might need to hedge a linebacker that way. Maybe we bring one less person, and that can open up running lanes for Tevin Coleman. It could leave Roddy White in some one-on-one scenarios or Leonard Hankerson or any of those guys. The game planning aspect means a lot.
It really does, and this is where you'll really see the intelligence of Dan Quinn. I mean, this is a guy who scouts and scouts and scouts and scouts, and he is as prepared as he can possibly be for a game. You haven't seen that yet. You haven't seen the game plan. And that's what I'm really excited about with Dan Quinn is seeing how he comes out, how he's attacking this Philadelphia team that's obviously very talented. That's something for me to be really fired up about, to borrow his phrase.
Yeah, speaking of Philadelphia, and you mentioned, Jay, one of the – most intriguing off seasons, maybe of any NFL team in a long time. Chip Kelly said, yeah, LeSean McCoy, nice to know you. Jeremy Maclin, no thanks. Nick Foles, I know I called you the quarterback of the future about a year and a half ago. We're going to send you somewhere else. And he just starts bringing in pieces. DeMarco Murray's there. Ryan Matthews is there. They've got enough running backs to run the triple option. They bring in Sam Bradford. Can he stay healthy? He's never really proven that throughout his NFL career. They jettison a couple other people. They bring in Kiko Alonso. They're a team to me that has as much pressure, if not more pressure, than anybody else in the NFL, because if Chip Kelly doesn't succeed, people are going to look and go, wait a second, you made all of these moves to make it, quote, your team. You were a 10-6 team just out of the playoffs a year ago. So I ask both of you, what do the Falcons need to do to beat Philadelphia on Monday night?
I think for me, when I look at the entire aspect of the entire game, I think about a slogan that I think about a lot when you're playing a team like Philadelphia, and I figure you can't play the chase game with Philadelphia. And what I mean offensively is if they're scoring a lot of points, they're moving fast, don't try to chase their pace of play. On defense, they're moving fast. They maybe don't move up and down the field, and you try to change your game plan so you're chasing what they're doing. Don't chase the Philadelphia. You got to stay within your game plan and do what you need to do to be successful, especially offensively, because you can score with anybody.
Right.
And don't feel the pressure because, hey, they may be up 14 or because it's, you know, they got a touchdown and a field goal and you feel like, all right, I got to get something going real quick. Don't press the issue. And I think that's where over the past the Falcons have really struggled because they've gotten behind on defense and they've scored some points and the offense feels like we got to catch up. And you start doing things out of your game plan, out of character, that's really not you. And I feel for this game, they can't really chase the Eagles if they get out. I mean, who's to say that happens? Because our defense has been playing great in the preseason. So we may be the ones that may be the aggressors. So we got to make sure we don't really chase them if that happens. Because it's going to be a long game. It's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen. And the curiosity of Chip Kelly is huge. What they're going to do offensively. We know they like to go fast, move fast, get out, score some points. We know how fast they can do that. But I think our offense, our defense has really shown that they can really compete, they can play well, and it's going to be intriguing to see what Chip Kelly has in play. We know he's going to have some tricks up his sleeve. He's had all offseason to prepare. Like you mentioned, he knows the pressure too. So he knows he has to go out and put together not only a good game plan, he has to put together a good plan and have these guys ready to go because he knows, all right, I've done some kind of off-the-wall stuff and people are expecting to see what happens. So I got to come out and make sure I put together a good game plan, a good game for them. So the Falcons have to be prepared. They're going to see some things they're not used to, but you got to stay the course.
I think that's absolutely right on, and I think you know, this is kind of reminiscent of a couple of years ago when we heard about the great Philadelphia Eagles team that they put together in free agency. And, you know, this is a team that absolutely has to prove itself, in meaning the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, there's very little to go on as far as tangible records and these other things. So they are a team under a lot of pressure, under a lot of scrutiny, that needs to come out and perform. I think for the Falcons, it's a simpler game plan, and it's focus on yourselves. Don't worry about the Eagles. Don't worry about the hype. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Focus on your job, do your job, and then let everything else fall into place. I think the third thing for me is just the offensive line. You know, if they can, if Matt Ryan has time, this team can beat anyone in the league.
Right.
But if he's on his back, you're gonna be.
And it's kind of before you go. On the other side of it, it's almost you have to get out to Sam Bradford.
Sure.
If you allow Sam Bradford to sit back there, he's going to pick you apart, too. Sure. Same thing with Matt. You got to get after Sam Bradford and force him into bad situations, bad decisions. Make him move. Because if you let him sit back there and gain confidence, we saw what he did in the preseason, let alone preseason, but it was 10 of 10. It showed some efficiency. I don't care who it is. It's the National Football League, and he showed, if you give me time to sit back there, I can be that first-round pick that, you know, I was driving to in St. Louis.
I've got three words is what the Falcons need to do to win this game. Tackling – in space. Philadelphia and Chip Kelly, if you watched him at Oregon and you watched him at Philadelphia, his offense is predicated on making mismatches, getting guys in one-on-one scenarios, and forcing your defense to make one-on-one tackles. Guys like Paul Warlow, Justin Durant are going to have to play very sound tackling games in the back end, whether it's, you know, Desmond Trufant or whether it's William Moore. You've got to get guys to the ground when you have that opportunity, because what Philadelphia will do, they love to spread it out, make you make the choice of having maybe six or five in the box, and then give it to somebody like DeMarco Murray. And it could be a one-on-one scenario with your linebacker and DeMarco Murray. Your linebacker better make that tackle, because if he misses, DeMarco Murray is off down the field. If the Falcons tackle in space, they're going to score on Philadelphia. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind they will score points on Philadelphia. You better tackle in space if you want to win this game.
And I think we saw a big improvement on that in the preseason. And, you know, Dan Quinn obviously comes in with a very different teaching technique and things like that. We've heard a lot about the rugby-style tackling and all that kind of stuff. I think that has been a huge improvement this preseason, and maybe an unsung one. We've seen a couple of issues here and there, but not nearly as many as we've seen in the past. And so I'm encouraged by that, but you're right on.
I saw an example of this in preseason game four, and I know it's preseason game number four, but William Moore, noted hard hitter, he comes up and tries to knock you off the sideline. There was a play where a play was coming in front of him, and instead of William Moore launching himself like he used to in the past, or just, you know, trying to decapitate a guy, he broke down and made a nice tackle. And I think Arch mentioned it during a commercial break during the Falcons radio network. He said, man, that's a different approach to tackling. And I know that's something that Dan Quinn has taught.
It's one of those things also, the way the games change as well. I think Willie Moe understands he can't be that type of player all the time. We expect Willie Moe to be that guy. He's been that guy for a long time. But also, Willie Moe has had a few injuries as well. And it's because he plays relentless, and that's what you love about him. But I think he's, in his maturity, in his years in the NFL, he's learned, I got to find better ways to not only take care of myself, keep me from getting fined, but also, like you mentioned, be able to tackle better in space. Make the for sure tackle. Yep. There could be times when you can take that shot. There's going to be times where, you know, a receiver's running, he doesn't see you, and, you know, he's coming across the middle, and you can lay him out. But there's other times where it's going to be you one-on-one, and you're going to have to break down and make a play. And I think that's what he's learning, especially in his later years, is when those times are to take those kind of, you know, aggressive hits, and the other times when, all right, I got to get this guy to the ground.
But I think also the free agent additions from the offseason have really added something to this defense when it comes to tackling. I think O'Brien Schofield, Brooks Reed, I know he's going to be out for a little bit, but Brooks Reed looked really good in the preseason. Justin Durant looked really good in the preseason. But I think that also filters down because Paul Warlow tackled really well in the preseason. Adrian Claiborne, those guys have really stepped up, I think, and understood that, hey, you know, we can give up the 5 yards here, but let's not give up 70.
Right.
You know, and I think that's really going to go a long way against Philadelphia.
All right, Shock, scoreboard prediction. What happens on Monday night?
Scoreboard? Okay. I like the Falcons 27-20. Jay? The Falcons 27-20.
31-27 Falcons.
Ooh, boy, that'll be a shootout. Monday Night Football. I'm going to go 28-17. I'm believing in the defense. Yeah, I think they're going to make some plays. And Sam Bradford, I've never trusted him. Since he was at Oklahoma, I didn't really trust him. Actually, the last time I trusted him, he put up 51 on my school. But that's neither here nor there. I think it's time now to take a break with our good buddy Bo Sec.
Bo.
What's up, Bo?
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
That's the countryest introduction ever.
Week one, baby. We got to bring it better than that.
You got to say, rise up.
Rise up.
There you go.
All right.
Much better.
Now we're in it. Now we're in it.
All right. What is the funniest thing you've seen a mascot do? That's my favorite Bo Sec question.
Well, other than Matt Moore running in the fajita costume, and I guess that doesn't really count.
That was a good one.
I'll let you guys start. I saw... You know at those basketball games where the mascots jump on the trampoline and they try to dunk?
Mm-hmm.
I was at a game one time. It wasn't a Hawks game, but it was one of the games and one of those mascots go to jump on the trampoline and the trampoline gives way.
Oh, no.
So he goes into the trampoline and face first into the ground. I was dying laughing. I know he didn't feel good. He had a lot of cushions, so he was all right.
I don't know. I think of mascots, I think of the famous San Diego Chicken.
Yes.
I think of the Philadelphia Phillies guy there.
The Philly Fanatic.
There you go, that guy. And I think one of the best out there who just retired was Jackson DeVille.
Yes.
And
I think I have a selfie with him somewhere.
From the Jaguars. So the funniest thing that I've seen, and really this borders on like it was funny but also like it could have caused a riot.
Mm-hmm.
Was when we went down to Jacksonville a couple of years ago for combined practices in the preseason with the Jags. You know, their training camp is very much like ours, where they've got, you know, the mascots there and all that. But their mascot can do whatever he wants to. So the Jags are out there warming up. The wide receivers are doing their route tree with the quarterbacks. And all of a sudden, Jackson DeVille is out there running slant routes. and catching passes over the middle, right? For real. And he's got this little bike, and he's riding a bike around, and player he's tripping over players and all this other stuff. Well, one of our PR guys, Matt Haley, walking down the sideline, had his back turned. Jackson DeVille rides his little bike up to him, gets off the bike, goes up to him, and pulls his basketball shorts down.
No!
In front of everybody? The entire crowd.
Oh.
No. And luckily, you know, he was wearing underwear that day, so it wasn't like...
He had on tidy whities?
No, I don't know what he was wearing.
He had on tidy whities.
But he wasn't going commando. And
I think that's a good thing for all of us.
For all of us. But, I mean, I can't... If that would have been me, I would have reacted much differently than him.
That would have been a right cross, most likely would have.
Yes. I would be a YouTube sensation.
That would have been awesome.
If that would have been me. But that was one of the funniest and most inappropriate.
Of course I'm going to play Homer on this because the best mascot in all of college football resides down in Coral Gables, Florida. Sebastian the Ibis. It's an Ibis, man. Don't call him a
Where's this at? What's the name of this team?
The U.
The who?
The U.
Where are they located?
Miami. But he has a couple of classic moments that come to mind. He's not a duck. It's an ibis.
That's a duck.
The heck is an ibis?
No, I'll teach you after.
Is it a type of duck?
No, it's not a type of duck.
When your son sees him, he says, oh, look at that duck.
No, my son calls him an ibis. He knows what his
name
is.
Donald Duck.
But anyway, we play Florida.
Son of a gun.
Is that not good?
Yes. You know, maybe nobody didn't catch it. I caught it. I heard it.
Am I not supposed to say that? I don't know enough about
it. Hush. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. U.
Anyway, we play the University of Florida in the Sugar Bowl in 2000. Najee Davenport scores a touchdown to put Miami up, I think, 36-20. It's kind of the clincher. And the Ibis runs into the pile where all the players are like the scrum in the end zone and hugs Najee Davenport. Miami ends up getting 2 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalties because of that.
Because of him.
They end up having to kick a 50-yard extra point. And the funny part wasn't him running on the field. It was Butch Davis's reaction. You could see Butch Davis on the sideline going, get that off the field. Basically, when Butch Davis would have caught that guy at the end, he probably wasn't allowed on the charter flight home. He was livid. The other funny moment.
He lost his mind.
Yeah, he did. 1989, Miami plays at Florida State. And, you know, Renegade, they run out with the flaming spear. Boom. Sebastian the Ibis runs out onto the field at Doak Campbell with a fire extinguisher.
No, really?
Needless to say, I think his name was John Routh, was arrested by Tallahassee police. They literally have a picture of Sebastian the Ibis in handcuffs going out because he tried
to get it out, though.
No. He didn't make it far enough. Oh, no. They saw fire extinguisher and renegade spear. Mm-mm. That wasn't going to happen.
That's going awesome. Back to your first one, I think I remember something, and I can't remember when, and I honestly can't remember who. It was either Minnesota or Detroit or one of the teams up there. But one of the mascots, like, there was a kickoff, and it was a live ball, and the mascot just picked it up in the end zone. And like, hey. Well, it was a live ball. I can't remember who it was, but
those are always the best.
Like, yeah.
That was a good duck story right there, man.
It's not a duck, man. It's an ibis.
Good duck story.
I don't call Ugga, like, you know, a Rottweiler.
Because he's not.
I know, and he's not, and Sebastian's
ibis
not a duck.
Ibis is a duck, man. No, he looks like a duck.
He's not a duck.
But you've got, okay, at least he's got one mascot. You guys have like 10.
What do you mean?
You guys got,
we have the actual dog. We have things happen because of natural causes. No, that's just the mascot. You gotta.
Well, which one's the mascot?
They're both the mascot. They're the same thing.
Well, they're not as confusing as Auburn.
Right.
War eagle, a tiger. I think they've got
eagles,
a snake.
We're all over.
I don't know who they are.
That'll lead us right into the video of the week, is what that'll do.
Video of the week.
Yeah. There we go.
This goes back to Jacksonville.
Speaking of Jacksonville. Nice. Which, by the way, those helmets are horrible.
Oh.
Have you seen this? It's kind of
horrible. Oh! Get out the way.
Wow.
It's a Texans fan.
She's going to get it.
This has got to be staged, right?
He's going to give it to her. I know it. Blah!
Oh! Oh!
I'll be honest, I've never had cake to the face, but with the force that he just hit her with.
Oh, he went hand to face and all.
Bam! Oh!
And then he mushed it.
No, he did like the mic drop. He's just staring her down, too.
Right? He's like, do something.
Hold on, you got to love the guy at the end. First of all, if you go to a football game dressed as this guy that's going to pop in the picture here in just a moment.
With that whole bodysuit
on? Yeah, the bodysuit. This
bodysuit, man.
Oh, they don't show his reaction. Oh, there he is.
Come on, Bo. There we go.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Weird.
That's another one of the mascots, probably.
Can I ask you who's dating that guy? Because I've seen that guy in the crowd at a lot of games. Like, who's his woman that says this is okay for you to dress like this and go out in public?
This tonight, right?
I don't know.
I have no problem with fans being fans. We all are fans. I mean, I have tattoos of teams, so what am I supposed to say? But the people that go above and beyond, like Barrel Man that used to be in Denver, it'd be like 4 degrees and he'd have a barrel on. There was Finn Man in Miami or Denny Dolphin who had like a Walmart towel that he painted.
What's the guy in the with the Jets?
Fireman Ed.
But he retired.
He did.
He stopped going. And then in Buffalo.
If you were a Jets fan, you'd stop going too.
Buffalo, you got Drunk Elvis.
Oh, there's a Drunk Elvis?
Yeah, there's a Drunk Elvis. Okay. And he's great.
Oakland has a few.
And then you got two chefs in the end zone there in Kansas City.
Okay. I can't wait to go to Oakland one time.
Oakland
just
Black
once.
Hole? Oh, I hear it's amazing.
Wes tells me the stories about some of the people that have their own custom jerseys. Mm. Go Manny, go Raiders. I don't know what Manny has to do with any of that, but I mean the spike shoulder pad. And he told me, he said, that's we're going to get you in the Blackhawks. No, you're not.
They got some characters down there. I remember we went out there and played, and I'm still on the sideline just looking at people like, look at that guy.
Professional fan.
All right. Dude, look at that guy.
We're going to do our picks to click. I'm going to read the rules. Pick a player who you think is going to make the big impact. You can't pick Matt or Julio, and the person with the most correct picks at the end of the season will get. What are we playing for? Are we going to do like a steak dinner?
We haven't determined that.
We got to think about something. All of us like to eat.
Sure.
I think we do a dinner.
You guys need dinner. To tweet us and let us know what you think.
That's a really good idea. I like that.
Tweet what we should play for.
What should we play
for? Shock, you're the quarterback, so you get to go first. Who's your pick?
Hold on, I got a question, though.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what really makes one impact better than another?
That's a great question.
Like, a guy scores a touchdown or a guy has, like, a winning tackle or something. That's what we determine.
That's what you got to think about this.
Okay, the guy that has the biggest impact.
So if you choose, like, a Jake Matthews, right, it's really hard to kind of tell what his impact is.
Well, his impact is like he didn't give up a sack. That's major.
That's major, but Bosek is the judge here.
Bolsek is the part that picked the click.
We did this last season. It worked very well last season. Someone even picked.
You're part of the picks to click this year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can't be the judge? Okay, it is. You can't be the judge.
Okay, we will find an impartial judge who's not breaking Bolsek. Look at that.
All right, Bolsek, I got $3.
$3.
I need a free dinner.
Just like a Miami guy right there. Look at that.
This worked
well. I learned from Nevin Shapiro. All
right, Uncle Luke.
All right, Shock, you get to go first. It's gonna go good. You get to go first.
Oh, man, a lot of guys to choose from.
I won
last
year.
So the guy who will make the biggest impact.
Yes. I am the defending champion of picks.
What if a guy has like 15 tackles? Is that a big impact?
That probably would be. If I just mentioned tackling in space, yeah, that'd probably be a big impact.
All right, I'm going with Warlow.
Ooh. Ooh,
I like Warlow. I like – he's always around the ball, baby.
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
Hey, you got to count like BD, ball disruptions, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Pressures, all that. Mm-hmm. You saw me spit? Pressures.
Pressures.
Emphasizing the
pressures. So I'm going to go on the other side of the ball. I'm going offense, and I'm going to go with Leonard Hankerson. And I would normally go with a Roddy White here, but – you know, he's coming off that elbow injury. I don't know how much he'll play. I know he'll play. I don't know how much he'll play, so I'm going to go with the third option there.
Nope. Okay.
Tammy's the third option. You're the fourth. Hankerson's going to be fourth.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine. I'm glad I let you two go first so I can get the guy that's actually going to win picks to click this week. And I'm taking our rookie running back in Tevin Coleman. Ooh. Philadelphia is going to have to do everything they can to stop all the guys on the perimeter. Tevin Coleman, over 100 yards. He'll score a touchdown this week, and he's going to have one run plus 30 yards.
I love that. I would love to see
that. Is that like your bold pick right there, over 100
yards? No. That's
something that's
– Write it down.
Okay.
Write it down. Kosek, you get the pick as well?
Sounds good.
All right, who you have?
I don't trust Sam Bradford either, so I believe Desmond Trufant is going to have a killer game.
Coming off the shoulder injury.
Okay.
He's going to do it.
True. Okay.
All right. Now, there it is. So we've got Paul Warlow. We've got Leonard Hankerson. Tevin Coleman. Desmond Trufant.
And tweet us your picks to click. Too.
Absolutely.
You can't pick Matt or Julio.
No, you cannot pick Matt.
Same rules apply. But you don't get the steak dinner, guy. Though.
You know what? We can't do that. That'd be too much. I was going to say it would be too much on the staff. I'd say we should find, you know, if we can find a winning fan at the end of the year, maybe that would be their prize. They get to hang out with us if anybody's
come sit in.
Prize? Well, they want to hang out with Shock.
It won't be, us. It'll be hang out with Shock.
No, I have people all the time say, I need to come sit in with you guys.
Yeah, it's because they want to sit next to you.
No. Has nothing. They never say me. They said the Falcon Cast crew.
They're just being nice to us.
You know who's the most popular? Freaking Bosek. No, Bosek. People are always talking about break with Bo. That's what they like.
That's what they
Jay
like.
Has to turn his notifications off on his phone, so he's the most popular.
Very true.
If I get 3 tweets a week, I'm happy. And most of those are just angry fans calling me an idiot. So
I just get lucky because I get to be inside the tweet, so it gets a lot of retweets with Jay, so it's cool.
You thought I was going to let you guys get away. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's time to go, Bo.
Super Bowl picks.
Thank you guys for joining us.
No.
You guys next week with a win.
I was going to block that like Dikembe Mutombo.
Right. No.
Super Bowl pick. DJ Shockley. If you want me to go first, I have no problem.
Yeah, go first. Yeah.
All right. I've said my NFC Championship game is going to be a rematch of a year ago. I think it's Green Bay and Seattle. I do think the Falcons are a playoff team, by the way. And you could watch the CW on Saturday. I gave a scientific breakdown of what I thought the Falcons' record
you
was going to be.
That
it is. Scientific.
It was very chemistry? Scientific is the word.
About as
Did you make the volcano?
I did. I had
the
beakers.
School fair.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've got Green Bay and Seattle in a rematch in the NFC Championship game. On the AFC side, I've got Miami and Indianapolis. I've got Indy coming out of the AFC. I've got Green Bay coming out of the NFC. And I've got Indianapolis, Andrew Luck, Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, T.Y. Hilton, your man Crush.
Talk to me.
They're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Wow.
I've got the Colts.
That was my pick, too.
Wow. Well, that's good. Wow. Great minds think alike.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Green Bay. I think, you know, despite the loss of Jordy Nelson, they're going to find a way to score points. It's Aaron Rodgers after all. I do think the Falcons are a playoff team as well. Mm-hmm.
Got to put that out there. The Falcons are a playoff team.
Absolutely.
Playoff team.
So I'm going to go Green Bay versus Baltimore, and I've got Joe Flacco winning another one.
Wow. Boy, the Joe Flacco Matt Ryan debate will rage on if Flacco wins another one.
All right, so I'll end this party. End this party with obviously Green Bay is hard to go against in AFC. Anytime you got Aaron Rodgers, it's hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers. But I'm gonna say the GOAT goes out with his last one.
Wow.
John Elway said, it is my life's ambition to make sure he goes out as a Super Bowl champion.
Wow.
Green Bay, back to Denver.
Wow.
Peyton goes out. Him and Papa go out.
Rematch of what? The 1997 Super Bowl, in which John Elway got his first. All right. Bosek.
There it is.
Come on. Mm. Oh, you're not getting off. You said it was Indianapolis, but who are they playing?
If you pitch the click, then you're
in all the way.
Colts would have been my pick.
Well, you could still take them.
Still take them.
It's not like you have to take, I don't know. You got to take San Francisco because right. I took the Colts.
Please take San Francisco. That would be nice.
That would be awesome.
Jaguars, maybe?
The Bears? That'd be kind of tough for them to play the Colts.
Yeah.
Bears? I'll Seahawks.
Okay, so Seahawks and Colts.
We'll see. Yeah, Seahawks, Colts, and the Colts will take it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Flies by. Monday night, be at the Dome, and that means leave at about 3 o'clock. Don't try to leave early. Better leave late.
7:10, baby.
We'll see you guys next week.
7:10. Oh! Spot.